what happened?
Position.
General sense of position. We'll move the stern of the battleship under you. Mm-hmm. Move a destroyer under you. Yeah. Move Portsmouth under you. Move a church under you. Right there in Portsmouth. Go ahead and move a church under you.
I think these are fixed in there because I can, things I can recognize I can do, but they're like, come, I come.
Well, yeah. All right. Now, move London under you. All right, move the Thames under you. Move London Bridge under you.
I've got a bridge.
All right, move Tower Bridge under you. Got it? You got a facsimile of Tower Bridge? What, the facsimile? Or Tower Bridge?
No, the
is it a distorted view? Or is it a distorted view?
It's only mental and real.
All right. Let's take that view and let's turn it around with the back side of it. Okay, ridiculous with that facsimile. Let's move the street corner out here under you. Just move it under you.
Very high view of it.
Very high view of it. All right, move it closer below you. Move it up to you.
I haven't got this corner here.
Oh, you got another corner. Well, what corner did you have? Well, it doesn't matter.
Drawn the statue in the center of it. That seems to dominate everything.
Well, let's not worry about which corner you got. Let's move Buckingham Palace under you. Mm-hmm. Let's move one of the guards under you. All right, let's move his head immediately in front of yours. Yes. Are you allergic to them?
I don't think
so. All right, now let's buzz him in the ear. Buzz him in the air?
You have to lose every sense of reality about it.
When you did that. Privacy. Leave these other bodies. Right? Okay. Okay, move Hyde Park under you. Move Madame Tussauds under you. Now, move the Hall of Fame around you.
Which Hall of Fame?
The Hall of Fame. Just the main hall at Madame Main Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Main hall. Yeah. Move it around you. Mm-hmm. Now, move one of the wax figures close to you. Hmm? What happened?
When I got Churchill's face, as soon as I started getting onto one, they just receded.
Oh, concentration. Okay, that's all right. Now let's get Churchill's face, move it up in front of yours in the Hall of Fame, at Madame Tussauds. He's just waxing on. Mm-hmm. Let's move his face up in front of you.
Very close.
Well, that's all right. Now let's take another figure there and move it in front of you.
Get him over there. I can't get him in front.
All right. Got this other figure? All right. Move another figure. They just have numbers on them. She's cheap. She makes you buy a book. All right. Now, let's move the cashier's wicket downstairs in front of you. Take a look at the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
How's she look? What happened?
Got the brass grill, but no cashier.
Aha. 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 All right. Now, move the street corner out here below you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, move a battleship under you. Move the stern under you. Move the bow under you. All right, move the Indian Ocean under you. All right, now move it right up close to him.
It's dark when you get down there.
Hmm?
Dark when you get down there.
Hmm. All right, move the Pacific under. Oh, yeah. All right. Move the Cape of Good Hope under you. Move the government building in Cape Town under you. Hmm?
I'm trying to recognize it. Reason
okay.
About it.
Just pick one out and say that's the government building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look around and find a flag and move it in front of you. Okay. Is it in motion?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Now, let's move Portsmouth under you.
I bet you know I don't like that joint.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll wish Arsenal under you. Okay, move the Shetland Isles under you. Now move them up close to you. Now move them up real close and sit down. Okay. Now move 163 under you. All right, move this chair and your body under you. Okay, now what are your general reactions here? What have you been doing?
Fighting again.
Huh?
I think I've been fighting against.
You've been fighting against it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, did you have any sensation of being anywhere, though, in reality?
Yes.
Is this better than you have had? All right, you did have some sensation. Now, what general fear was hitting you or anything like that? I realize these
things... Sort of loss of bearings.
Sure.
I was looking for bearings, I could point all the time.
Sure. You realize that it's difficult doing something like this. With this many people working out and with the amount of traffic noise out here. Actually, the technique is very successfully done if the auditor assigns small assignments such as, let's look at three places, one after the other, and move them up, and then come back here, you see? And then the fellow, while he's there, isn't being called back to the chair. Actually, you're canceling the technique by continually referring to him. There, you see, you're making him use his body for communication. Whereas you can actually pull this technique yourself and lying quietly in bed or something like that where you know you're not going to be even vaguely disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go at it for hours. You can suddenly say to yourself, gee, wait a minute, I got a body back there. I better get back there.
Maybe if I mean Frank, I got a good visual in Ireland, just went across there with a wall this side. A Sandy Lane dam with a blonde-headed kiddie running down there.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a very clear three-dimensional, very, very clear color moving.
Well, good.
As I was laying there and you were running Frank and you were sending him over for your assignments.
Well, you notice your level of run there mm-hmm. is actually, if anything, a little superior to having a lot of concentration on mm-hmm. Well, I picked you because you're perceptic. I knew you perceptic had little bit shut down and so forth. And I really want to see how it would work on you. Now, did you have a better sensation of getting somewhere or doing something than you have had?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely, okay. Okay. How about you? Okay. Do you remember something real?
Yes, I remember my breakfast this morning.
Very good. Very good. Now, why don't you move your school under you?
Yes, I can do that.
Move it under you.
Yes.
Okay, now move it up close to you.
Yes.
Now move it some distance away from you.
Yes.
Now move Buckingham Palace under you.
Yes.
Now move that fairly close to you.
Yes.
And sit down.
Yes.
All right, now let's take an inventory of you as you're sitting on Buckingham Palace. What have you got with you?
I've got a Flagstaff behind me.
What have you got of yours?
Well, I didn't have anything.
You haven't got anything?
No.
What have you done? Left it all with the body?
Yes.
All right, let's move back here.
Yes.
Let's, out here in front of you, have yourself marked up as a Thetan, facing yourself marked up as a Thetan, saying, well, it's too bad that we have to abandon forever the home universe.
Yes.
Keep them getting that, saying that to each other. Now get the feeling of pleasure at abandoning the home universe. Get that easily?
Yes.
You got them both there?
Yes.
Good. Now, get them saying to each other, isn't it wonderful that all of me belongs to the body? Get good emotion going back and forth between them on this.
Yes.
Okay. Did you give you any change of mood or anything?
No, I'm quite content.
You're quite content either way about it.
Yes.
All right, move Cape Good Hope under you.
Yes.
All right, now let's find a building down there and move that up close to you.
Yes, I've got an impression of building with a flagstaff, and I'm right on the knob of the flagstaff.
Good. Now, let's take a look at you as the Thetan and tell me what you've got with you.
Well, I can't see anything. I just see this knob of the flagstaff.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, now let's just take a look at you.
The number of length stuff.
That's all. Well, how about moving China under you?
Yes.
Moving Russia under you?
Yes.
The Kremlin?
Yes.
Move the Kremlin right up close to you now.
Yes, I've got the ideal of the wall on the Red Square.
All right, now let's move up Lenin's tomb right up close to you. All right, let's move Lenin's face right up close to you.
Yes.
Got it there?
Yes, face to face.
Good. Good. Tell him hello for me. And move New York under you.
Yes.
All right. Now let's move the moon close to you.
Yes.
What's the matter? All right, let's move it real close to you.
Yes. I seem to be down a mountain too. Are they out?
The Alps, huh? All right, let's, on the moon?
On the moon.
Uh-huh. All right, now let's find part of the plain there that has a lot of pumice. A perfect amount of pumice.
Yes, I'm on the plain.
Good. Now, let's just sit there and take a look around until you see a meteorite land or something like that, and the pumice will poof. Is this plain light?
Yes.
Did you do that?
Yes, I see that.
Yeah, about 30,000 of them a day land up there. So you can see almost in time.
Yes, it's just like shallows landing on sand, throwing up.
How's it look?
Well, it looks pretty bad, huh? It looks very bad. An impression of things falling on it and throwing it up in a form of dust.
Mm-hmm.
Going up high, just like a shell. Not an explosive shell, but just a shell, a blind shell.
Mm-hmm.
Not a gun.
Going slow or fast?
Is
it going slow or fast?
No, they're hitting it too. I hardly see the shell. It just hits it hard.
Uh-huh.
Goes with us.
All right, now move the black and white border, that is to say, the place where the sun is hitting and isn't hitting, directly under you.
Yes.
Now let's test the temperature on the sun side and then move the dark side on you and test the temperature there.
I guess I can get a drop of cold air. Mm-hmm. If this is such a thing, I can get the cold on the cold side.
Mm-hmm. All right, now move the hot side under you.
The right-hand side of the body is cold, and the left-hand side is warm.
Mm-hmm. Of your theta body or your body in the chair?
Body in the chair.
Oh, it's pretty interesting. Okay, and now let's move London under you. Nelson's monument. Let's take a facsimile and hang it on his hat.
Well, the facsimile wants his head, so I have to hang his hat on his head. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, move that about a mile away from you. Now move St. Paul's under you.
Yes.
Move Tower Bridge under you.
Yes.
Move the Tower of London under you.
Yes.
Okay. Move Hyde Park under you.
Yes.
Now move the place where they generally give their speeches under you.
Yes.
Anybody giving a speech?
No. No, let me see. Yes. He seems to be giving a speech to about three people.
He is. All right, move in directly in front of you.
Yes.
Okay, now let's reach out and touch his hair, stroke his hair very affectionately. What happens?
That was quite amusing. He's holding forth on some of his stuffing and stroking his hair. He's be soothing him down a little.
Good. Let's soothe him down further. Let's get him very beamish on the subject of capitalism or something.
Unless he's expanding on that.
Stroke his hair even further. Make him very calm.
Seems to have long, sticky hair. It's not really comfortable, you know.
Okay, now let's look at the people watching him there. Let's move them in front of him.
Yes.
Now let's give them the idea they ought to leave just by looking at them and sort of saying out loud, leave.
Yes, they're gone.
All right, now move 163 under you.
Yes.
Move the chair under you.
Yes.
Sit down.
Right.
Okay. What was your reaction on being up?
Well, fairly real,
mm-hmm.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Of course, keeping the communication line here is probably
cuts
it back a little bit. You've been out before, though, many times.
No, this is the second time.
The second time?
Yes.
Oh, good. You knew you were out. No,
oh, yes, I had that was fine.
Good. Fine. What do you think of this as a technique? Mm-hmm. Good. All right, let's go. Now let's see. Shall I give you one more demonstration?
Yes, sir. Sure.
You want one? All right. You ever been out before?
Well, not with that today.
Not with Thursday. Oh, well, we see if we can make it a little more certain. Well, I don't promise this. You understand that a demonstration of this character is always under stress. Mostly for the auditor. Nobody cares about the preclear. Now, I want to show you how I'm operating on this. Let me see. Would you come up and sit in that chair? That's right. Now I've got a double terminal. As a matter of fact, I was starting to skid out of contact with it by watching this happen. Okay. Why don't you be in this room? And be in your body. All right, you move your body around you?
Yes, I moved it around.
Good. Were you there?
Yes, in the center of your head.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's move Tower Bridge under you. Okay, let's move the tower closest to the Tower of London directly under you.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything moving on the river?
There's a couple of barges.
All right, move one of those barges under you and move it up close to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is there something towing it?
Well, it seems to be anchored.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any barge running, or I mean, any tug
yes,
or something?
Yes, there is. One going under the bridge.
We'll move that under you.
Mm-hmm.
Move its engine room up alongside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, move its pilot house up alongside of you. All right. Now let's move Tower Bridge under you again.
Right.
Move that moving barge under you again.
Mm-hmm.
Move Tower Bridge under you again. Move the barge under you again. Move the engine room alongside of you again. All right, give some heed to the motors, whatever you got there. Move the pilot house alongside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, move the Tower of London under you. Now move that island that was recently flooded under you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, move some of the damaged area. Move the Kremlin under you.
Mm-hmm.
Move the Amazon jungle under you. The Amazon mm-hmm. River. Move it right up close to you.
I'm scared.
Hmm?
Yeah, scared.
Don't blame you. All right. Move the Nile under you.
Mm-hmm.
Move the Nile up close for you.
Not a crocodile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Walk up and throw into the Nile 3 or 4 new crocodiles. Okay, move the Thames under you again.
Mm-hmm.
Move the Pyramids under you.
Mm-hmm.
Move the peak of one pyramid directly below you. Move yourself very close to this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now move yourself around so that you're sitting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
I just get a tactile on the stone.
Don't have any quiet still. Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now move a palm tree under you in Egypt. Camel under you. Move Rome under you. Move the Colosseum under you. Move the Colosseum all up around you so that you're standing in the center of the Colosseum. What's the matter? What happened?
I want to be let out of here.
Okay. All right, mark it up full of lions. Now move one of the Alpine Chateau under you.
Mm-hmm.
Now move an Alpine peak. Move the Matterhorn under you.
Mm-hmm. I like this peak.
All right, let's move the Matterhorn right up close to you. All right, now let's get a tactile on the peak there of the Matterhorn. Okay, let's sit down on it. Take a look around. I'm not going to talk to you for 3 or 4 minutes here. Why don't you take a breather? Take a look around. Take a look at the top of the Matterhorn and a few other things. Okay, now let's move the chair under you and your body under you. Okay?
That's interesting.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well, I liked those tops of the pyramids and the Matterhorn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the water.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the Colosseum a bit.
Not a bit, huh?
No.
Strange.
Funny that when I was on the top of the Matterhorn, I got out of my body again on the top of the Matterhorn. It was a double.
Sure. Well, the Satan has a body that is a mock-up of the body which he's running, of course. How otherwise would he control his body if he didn't have a mock-up of the body?
Never had that.
Getting out. Yeah, okay. Okay. You understand this technique? All right, on those cases. On those cases there that you found that were not quite up to optimum, this is partially audience consciousness. After all, there's a lot of feelings that has learned me to guy up, you know. And it's quite remarkable on that. In regard to, by the way, stage demonstrations, I possibly ought to say just a phrase or two here about it. It is not an optimum proceeding. It is not something, for instance, which you ought to attempt before a couple of hundred or 30 or 3,000 people, unless you use great caution in picking up your brake lift. Now, if you're going to demonstrate, before 3,000 or 30,000 people, you look around and find yourself screaming. You find somebody who was completely mad, and you run them into an engram. And then you open them up to high C and blow the heads off the people in the back of the hall, and then they know that Dianetics for Scientology work. Then you have the screamer wheeled off the stage and audited, so that you're in for the time, basically. Otherwise, you give a perfectly good, smooth demonstration on a stage before a large number of people, and they're utterly unimpressed, completely unimpressed. It just makes no difference to them at all. I audited a girl one time who had been completely mute and dull in the hands of four of the leading psychiatrists of Oakland, California. And they were so convinced that all of this was charlatanism or something of the sort that they gave me a ringer. They gave me this girl that they knew nobody could get a yeep out of. This girl had never seen her father and mother. So I got her picked out of the crowd, threw her back into early childhood, and turned her up to high C. And I swear they could hear it 2 blocks away from the city auditorium, see? Hall was packed the next night at the series of lectures. But these people went away citizens. Actually, the auditing was not bad. The auditing was just at a level to interest people. Are they there to be instructed? No. They're there to see Christians eaten in the arena. And if you want to do that kind of auditing for lots of people, why, rig it up so that you have somebody who is very bombastic or something of the sort. Be very careful of picking somebody who wants to give a show. They just ruin your demonstration. Wise guys, or something like that. Be very careful on it. Otherwise, don't give demonstrations. Party of people, for instance, gather around, they want to find out how this works, and they want you to do this, and they want you to do that. Well, you have techniques with your lead pipe fingers, but don't go full such techniques. If you see me demonstrating here today, if you want to demonstrate on a crowd of people, You get yourself the smart ones. That is to say, take the person who has been ridiculing you, you see, something like that, who's really egging things on, and do something to him. Well, anything as mild as ARC strike wire. You can very easily and very quickly estimate a pretty clear. And with some ARC straight wire right in present time, why, you can generally do some interesting things to people like this. But you don't want much of a show. Now, don't try to get very technical about this subject, and really don't try to explain it to people. Now, that's a big problem. Talk about what it does very widely, or something of the sort, or talk about what it does for children, or talk about something interesting in connection with what could happen if the dictators of the world got audited or something of the sort. But just this business of trying to explain the whole subject to them in 5 minutes as a professional. Nobody expects a doctor to tell them how to do a transorbital leucotomy, which I think all medicine knows how to do on this subject. Nobody expects a doctor to tell them how to do this in 12 easy lessons. But you can tell them how a doctor does this. You go and get the books on it and find out how you do a transorbital leucotomy. And it makes very interesting material. But people conversationally generally want the spectacular and want blood. And as much as you think people want reason and people want to know, it's not true. You go into the greatest philosophic tomes in the library, break them out, you will open them up, and you will find they are carefully marked where the philosopher has
said
what this person wanted him to say. These people wanted to be agreed with, and so the philosophers picked on. So you see these heavy underscorings, and here's Hegel or somebody like that, you know, and he goes on sonorously and synonymously and erroneously in all directions for page after page, saying very, very wise things and all that sort of thing. And we finally come down to the simple phrase, I don't even think Hegel said this, but God is good. And we find somebody's taking a crayon. See, you wonder scored this to put big checks out here in the margin. Some men are wicked. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. So it's the banality that goes over. And you, knowing your subject, can so far overshoot an audience that they don't even see the airplane. They don't even hear the jet. You sit there, if you say, well, you know, it's a funny thing, but man is basically good. There are some men give something to charities. Why do they think you're wise? It's a wise, kindly observation. Or go in for blood. Tell them about transorbital leucotomies, that sort of thing. Anything you want to talk about. And you can now get into a horrendous raging discussion on the subject of religion. Now, you can get people talking about religion. You won't have to say a word the rest of the evening. I just throw something in like that, you see, just say religion, and then just sit back. They say, well, why don't you explain Scientology? You studying this, I understand the new cult. Understand it like this, and you say religion. Conversation goes on the rest of the evening. Very fascinating, but it's quite hard to demonstrate this material. You understand what's happening here, but the people, a guy is watching something like this happen and say, what the hell's wrong around here? You'd be surprised how many of those people there are always in your audience. They go away completely befuddled. About your highest level of conversation on the thing is, you know, the dynamic principle exists to survive. Yeah, men are trying to survive. You can actually throw that in, and it makes a full topic. It's just a full topic from there on. And somebody else can talk about this too. They say, well, no, I believe in ethics and stuff like that. I know, I've been a pawnbroker all my life, and ethics are really what I go for. And I think there are higher things in life than survival and so on. And I have often said to myself, ethics like the Ten Commandments are these are really other things. But trying to drive something across with a demonstration, the only thing I'm trying to put across to you here is practically there's hardly a person here that won't be called upon to demonstrate this technique. There are these techniques. Well, if you are, for gosh sakes, don't demonstrate something beyond the ability of the audience to follow. ARC straight wire. Tell a person to mark up something. Anything. This is the mildest of the simplest. Now, they're going to say, Betty Clear, why don't you knock so-and-so's hat off? And you say, well, you made the suggestion, why don't you? This is very, very fascinating. Anyway, just on the subject of this in technique, your pre-clear shouldn't be that aware. You shouldn't have noises around it. If you were to choose an office, for heaven's sake, go to the quiet office. You'd be surprised how many cases will not run, even be accessible enough to talk to in the presence of a noisy office. An office that has a hall where doors are slammed may knock your pre-clear out of accessibility as far as you're concerned and may one day knock one into apathy and cause you many hours of unnecessary work. Can't happen. Can't happen. You get a touchy case and get it running. I want you to notice particularly about this technique, there's this little gimmick I was throwing in here about abandoning the home universe. Very often, if the fellow isn't seeing too well, if he doesn't see his body, he has a theta body, he isn't aware of all his bric-a-brac and circuits and this sort of thing, his anatomy, why, he may be hiding even successfully from himself the fact that he's packing a little capsule that has some of the most beautiful facsimiles in it he has. And when your pre-clear gets out as a point, he is actually condescending to momentarily abandon that to the body. He thinks he is. The truth of the matter is he packs all this around with him. And pre-clears who get out just as a point and who have no further bric-a-brac around them are either church mice amongst pre-clears, and this is possible. I mean, he could be a poor Thetan, you know, dispossessed, or he got money on an installment plan sometime or something of the sort. And it could be, only I've not run into one. They always got bric-a-brac. Always. And the main trouble with the one, the reason he fools you so easily, is he can work well outside without taking any of his bric-a-brac with him. And you can work yourself ragged with this one, and he can actually go all over the place and get back again. But as a Thetan, he's not going to reach operating Thetan, that's all. Why? You're exteriorizing him, and he is condescending to let the body take custody of his choicest and fondest possessions for a few minutes. Now, this is very, very true of a freight clear who can get out of his body but can't get out of his house. Or he can get out of his body and go places as a Thetan, get a few blocks, but can't take his body out of the house very far, or has claustrophobia, something of the sort. He's afraid to abandon these very, very choice possessions. And he thinks that when you ask him as a theta clear, to just be outside, be here, be there, he thinks that you ask him to leave those things behind. Because he's convinced that he does. So you run this little double terminal, run matching terminals, or double terminal on this, and as a matter of fact, on this first case I'm working here, that ought to be run by the hour. I mean, there ought to be a couple hours of that thrown in. Just because we got a flick of sadness, and then we got another flick, but there was no constancy in that. That tells you there's a lot of stuff there. We're doing a dodge, see? Dodge. Dodge, all right. So we just let that slide. But you, as an auditor, would pick it up and work it right there. He isn't very loose about reading out. He has his certainty about this and that, but he isn't as certain as you want him as an auditor. He isn't positive about this. So you realize that he must be letting the body continue in custody of some of his fondest and choicest. So you want to take care of that. Another thing is your person will very often have this fantastic idea that a theta clear has no personality. The Thetan doesn't have any personality. The body has all the feeling and all the sensation and all the personality. The body has all these things, and they get outside and they're serene. And I know when I'm outside, yes, I'm perfectly serene and I'm calm and so forth, and I'm just sort of, you know, disembodied spirit sort of thing. And I have my body and so forth. But I don't want to be like that outside, so of course I want to be back in the This guy is telling you phrase by phrase by phrase. He didn't take anything with him. He parked it all, and he isn't very thoroughly exteriorized. And quite in addition to that, he hasn't any of the bric-a-brac of which he's so fond. He hasn't taken his personality along, in other words. He left that with the body. He's assigned everything to the body so heavily that the body is the only thing that can emote. Well, if he gets out of himself with this technique of move this and that under you, move this and that under you, so forth, next thing you know, you become aware of something very funny. You say, you know, I'm all rigged up. I've got a lot of lines, I've got a lot of stuff, and so forth, and I'm sitting here examining these grains of sand. You really got somebody out. The Dayton is a simple, naive, rather sweet character. you see, immediately, I don't care if you're a freak here with 60 years old, he gets outside, he kind of feels like he's old, maybe. What's that terribly sincere age kids go through? About 12, when they make good boy scouts and so forth, and yet they're very interested, they're very alert, very imaginative, quite practical and very naive and simple. Well, that's actually what the basic personality strips down to. You'll recognize it when you see it. You process a person for a few hours, even at the level of 5 of this technique, you'll see that showing up. Don't be satisfied with a point exteriorization. This fellow's abandoning all. And don't be satisfied with these other partial ones. Now, if you'll notice, I'm purposely fixed up this first demonstration. It became the least successful of the demonstrations. I said, be here, be there, be someplace else. We had the vast trouble with beingness in this case. All right, now, we follow that up with move, and so on, it isn't as successful. I did that for an excellent reason. Not for a show, because I wanted to test it on a pretender. All right. Now for your benefit, for mine. This tells you, then, that if you as an auditor take one look at this person, look him over, and more or less spot him for 3, 4, 5, something like that, I would say, the starting of this technique. Ask him to remember something real. If you haven't already, take this communication language. Just hit him with this technique. Bam. Don't run the risk of slowing him down. I slowed this pretty clear down by asking him to be for a while and then asking him to move. Now we got a cross between the two. Probably his case is ruined. Probably never be the same again. you get the general idea. There's another little gimmick that I don't know about yet. It has to do with this strange thing. You ask some preacher, you say, now, who was some woman you know who was very forceful? Well, you'll think for a while, and you say, you know, my first wife, very forceful. All right. Now, what she used to do? Oh, she's very forceful, very energetic. What she used to do? He thinks for a long time. Well, she sat around the house quite a bit. Well, how'd she act in company? She never said anything in company, come to remember. Well, how'd she used to act with regard to your affairs? She used to push those? Well, come to think about it, she didn't care. This preacher has just got through describing himself to you. He's sitting around, he's doing nothing, he doesn't care. What's this interchange? This is actually an interchange of beingness has occurred here. He was very forceful. He was very forceful around his first wife. And he was particularly forceful to her.
So he keeps talking and acting forcefully to her. He's carrying this thing around, and now he's convinced she was a forceful woman. Because whenever she comes up, or whenever forcefulness comes up, he gets a facsimile of her. Now, if you will double terminal, or even just match terminals, on her against her, you will recover to him his forcefulness, because she was the girl who ran him into the ground. It's an interesting way of going about it. Or you say this young girl, you get this girl as a pre-clear, and she is very sneering about everything. Well, did you ever know anybody that was sincere? She'll say, well, my father was a very sincere person, extremely sincere person. He believed everything. He was very enthusiastic, very sincere. Yes, sir. Well, what was he particularly sincere about? Well, come to think about it, when he used to talk to my mother, he used to snare all the time about everything. Well, what was he sincere about? Well, say, you know, come to think about it, nothing. And it takes that mechanism. You want to know where the pre-clear's enthusiasm went, you see, where their forcefulness went, where their sincerity went, all these other various characteristics. Just ask them. If you want to find out what happened and you want to do a fast restoration of his modus operandi, we simply will ask him, now who is the loudest voiced, most firm voiced person in your family that you know? See, we want to restore his voice. All right, who is it? Which person did you know in your youth who was a very forcefully spoken person? Who spoke extremely forcefully?
I knew naval instructors.
Naval instructors?
Gunnery instructors.
How about your family?
No, not family. I don't remember.
You remember any of them as being forcefully spoken? This actually will register on an e-meter if you want to transfer it down. I mean, what was the job we were trying to do that night, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to turn up there, this and that. We were picking up a few things. We could have used this technique to a very great advantage. You see, I could have e-metered and said, well, who was the most forcefully spoken person in your youth? And maybe you wouldn't have remembered which on the e-meter. Now, was it your mother? Was it your father? Was it something else? All of a sudden, you would have turned up with somebody who was terribly forcefully spoken. And then, as we picked it apart, which not necessarily happened in your case, but just a demonstration, as we picked it apart, we suddenly found this person couldn't speak. And that you had to stand there and yell at him all the time. And we'd get a very dated in that fashion, but the facsimile would show up as forceful speech means this image. And so we'd say, I first say forcefully spoken. I first couldn't talk. See how this thing works? Who was the most... Now you say, who was the most moral person? You talk to this young girl, she's very immoral. You say, who was the most moral person you ever met? Oh, that was my mother. Yeah? Oh, very moral. Lectured all the time about morals. Just morals, just all the time, day and night. You say, well, all right. Now, your mother lived with your father. No, as a matter of fact, my father left home when I was five. Well, all right. Your mother's a member of a church? Say, that's right. Heavens, no. Say, do you know we got kicked out of a town once? I'd forgotten that. You suddenly pick up the fact that this young girl spent all of her youth, you see, pounding and beating at Mama, saying, be moral, Mama, be moral, and finally just gave up, just failed. Now, who's the most moral person you know? Well, if Satan gets out and he starts sorting these things out, he gets outside and you give him a little time and he'll just sort these various factors out. But he won't think too much about them. He's getting too interested again in this universe. But I say, in the case of a perceptive, in the case of a pair of glasses, you say, who is the most sharp-eyed person you know? And you very well might find the person in the child's youth that the person had to look with all the time. You find mother, and mother couldn't see anything. You get the idea. This is a reversal factor, which is part of a life continuum factor.